Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Our Grow model, as you know by now, is about communicable diseases. Last week, we were talking about non-communicable diseases. Today, or this week, we are talking about communicable diseases. And to navigate this way for us and with us is Dr. Gerard Thomas joining us on the line once again. Doctor, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon. It's good to be here, and thank you once again for having me on your show.
Thank you very much, Doctor. So we're talking about communicable diseases with Dr. Thomas. While communicable diseases spread very easily, they're also preventable, believe it or not. So from vaccines to hygiene practices, we have powerful tools to reduce transmission. And so today we'll discuss the most effective strategies to stop the spread of these communicable diseases. And that's why we do have Dr. Thomas joining us now. Doctor, what role do vaccines play in preventing communicable diseases?
The thing that we've got to, we're in a very difficult situation because of the COVID pandemic and the vaccines that we all were forced to have.
Right.
And I think that has sprung into being a lot of people that are now anti-vaccination.
Right.
So they're not prone to vaccinations. And there's been a lot of controversy about the vaccination, which we all had. Not everybody had it, but majority of people. And there's people that have been... They've been basically dropping dead, having heart cardiovascular conditions, and somehow it always goes back to the vaccination. Did you have the vaccination?
Right.
But one must also remember that vaccinations are globally, it's a success story. It's not something that we should always be against. There's benefits for vaccinations. It helps to stimulate the immune system to identify these pathogens that invade our bodies. So I believe that there is a place for it, and I believe that there is a reason that we should have certain vaccinations.
Okay.
I believe it helps with the communities as well, specifically to avoid... to avoid severe infections and possible death from some of these, fatal infections.
Which is, I suppose, a very valid point. I mean, if you don't want to die, vaccinate. You may be an anti-vaxxer, but still, if you don't want to die and you can go into an extra area that has a high occurrence of this, vaccinate. That makes ample sense. So how do personal hygiene habits such as hand washing, how do those help prevent infections? They seem simple, but they're very important. Just talk to us about the importance of those habits.
Personal hygiene habits, you know, especially hand washing, they are vital and they play a critical role in preventing infections. It removes harmful germs before they can enter the body. Because remember, what we touch, we cannot see where we've picked up various viruses or bacteria. We have a tendency to possibly scratch your eye, your ears, your nose, your mouth, and they gain access. It eliminates, by washing hands, just washing your hands, it will definitely eliminate the pathogens.
Right.
But you've got to know to wash your hands for at least 30 seconds.
Right, right.
You cannot just I've seen often when I'm getting off an airplane and I go to the loo and I see people washing their hands with just water and they just quickly rinse their hand and off they go.
And think, some don't even wash their hands, Doc.
Do you think you cleaned your hand there?
Yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is important to soap and water, not just rinsing your hand under water is not going to help. It will help reduce the infections and the risk of infections of the common cold,
right,
the gastrointestinal diseases. It will also prevent cross-contamination by, you know, you're touching food, you're touching the handles of things, you're touching things where other people are going to possibly have to touch. So washing hands is probably one of the most important lines of defense. against communicable diseases.
Got it.
It reduces the transmission of diseases, such as what we've been through, COVID-19, diarrhea,
right,
even respiratory infections.
Okay.
They are spread through hand contact.
Okay.
So, you know, it's important for everybody to be made aware of the importance. And I remember that when COVID was quite in its worst time for all of us, there was so much emphasis that was made on washing your hands.
Mm.
So I wonder, and I often, as I say, I wonder if people have just gotten more relaxed and don't think, oh well, COVID's gone, so we can just not worry to wash our
right,
hands.
Right, right, right.
And as you know, from a medical perspective, you will always see medical professionals, they wash their hands all the time, because we know the importance of practicing hygiene.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's talk public health interventions. What are some of the most effective public health interventions for controlling outbreaks?
So public health interventions for that is probably vaccination campaigns, I would imagine, is the most important. It's immunization. It prevents the spread of infectious diseases. Mm-hmm. Remember, there's the likes of measles, polio.
Right.
You know, there's those serious infections which having a vaccination, it helps your body to build antibodies, so that if you have got a infection that does perhaps come across your path in life, your body can identify it,
right,
and
right,
can obviously fight off that infection.
Okay.
Obviously, there's also quarantine and isolation. So, you know, individuals that are infected with some of these diseases that are communicable diseases that are able to be passed on from one person to the other.
Right, right.
It is important for them to also be in isolation and to be quarantined until, you know, to avoid further spreading. Look at the Ebola spread. Do you remember the Ebola virus that was not too long ago?
Yeah.
So it's all about isolation and quarantine. You know, even from a global perspective, we were looking at China the other day that had another outbreak of some form of a viral infection. And it's up to the government of that particular country to also limit travel immediately. They
yeah.
should say, hold on, this looks really similar to what we've already experienced. Let's, you know, take the necessary steps to be cautious.
Right. So
obviously,
yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, doctor.
Obviously, we don't want to be in another lockdown situation.
Yes.
And so based on that, it is important for the authorities to identify the dangers of these outbreaks.
Yeah, yeah. So there was a time at the height of the coronavirus that we were hearing rumors about this cure and that one. Hydrochloroquine, if I'm not mistaken, was touted by the then president of the United States and re-elected president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, suggesting that hydrochloroquine is a solution to COVID. And he was bashed for being a leader and a confuser in chief, misinforming people about things that are not supposed to be, and leading other people saying he's not going to be using a mask because of this and that. And some people didn't even want to use masks at the time. Talk to us about the dangers of misinformation. How can misinformation about disease prevention lead to unnecessary risks?
We should always lead by example.
Right.
I think that's the most important. Knowledge is, well, as we know, knowledge is power. If you are knowledgeable enough to know the dangers of not, if there's an outbreak, of not wearing a mask, I believe if you're okay with not wearing a mask, that is entirely your prerogative. But to start publicly notifying people that there's a particular treatment that you know or you feel is definitely going to help with these outbreaks, unless there is clinical trials that have been reviewed, peer-reviewed clinical trials showing and proving that the efficacy of this particular medication,
Right.
then I said, I would imagine it's not advisable. And misinformation, it can lead to risks of confusion, fear, and harmful behaviors. And obviously, in the public sector, people are listening to what is being said by the elected our leaders. So we have to make sure, and even from that perspective, our leaders need to know that what they say, there are people out there that will also follow them blindly.
Right.
False claims about any type of medication,
Right.
it will cause more, the spread of the disease will just happen, it'll just get worse. People will obviously follow these unproven dangerous remedies, which obviously will be damaging to countries and communities in general,
Right.
cause that can cause death, unnecessary death.
Yeah, indeed.
Worse, their condition will worsen, and we obviously want to, it'll also delay them in seeking medical care. So misinformation can cause people to ignore how the severity of the illness is
Right.
or the infection.
Absolutely.
It's important for our leaders to not spread misinformation. And the importance that they should be spreading is what we know. Good hygiene, washing your hands, practicing practicing what we know from the pandemic. We know we you know if someone if you're sick, if you've got influenza, what we should do, we should wear a mask because we don't want to spread the virus. We don't want to
Absolutely.
make the next person sick.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Finally, Doc.
So
Yeah. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
the misinformation will also cause distrust in the local health authorities and the healthcare professionals who say, no, that's not factual. It's not possible to cure X, Y, and Z. It's not possible. And they will look and say, but hold on, this leader said that he's not wearing a mask because he knows that this particular
Yes.
product heals. So
Yes.
we're saying, no, you need to be admitted because you have a oxygen saturation of X, Y, and Z, and you have comorbidities. You need to be hospitalized. They'll
Right.
say, no, I'm taking this. I know I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I have patients that are also, it's the same as people that are so against the likes of chemotherapy and all the allopathic types of
Right,
medication.
right.
And what people must always remember is that there's a place for everything. There's a time and a place. So there's a time that you need the chemicals, and there's a time that you can maybe not need them.
Right.
But it is important for you to know the difference and to know when, because otherwise misinformation, it will cause panic, it will cause a total disruption. People will start stockpiling on unnecessary medication. It becomes uncontrollable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Finally, talk to us about the lessons learned from past pandemics about prevention and response.
So what we've learned is valuable. As I said yesterday, we've come out of an era where, or we are living in an era where we've managed to, not everybody, we've managed to survive. We've managed to survive a pandemic which took millions of people's lives.
Absolutely.
So we've learned, we now know that poor hygiene will lead to not only fatal consequences. But we realize now that it will shape how we approach possible pandemics and even an epidemic going forward. We know that it will early detection of it will and a rapid response will help us to control it and to contain it before it gets to a magnitude of what COVID-19 was. We know that vaccinations are essential, or they can be essential, and they can be beneficial. We know that. Remember that smallpox was one of the pandemics that was, it was terrible. Mm. And we know that through vaccinations, we are able to prevent another outbreak.
Mm.
We know that it's worthwhile to invest in research and vaccine research for that matter.
Right.
We know that from a public health perspective, it is important to implement a health measures that are based on scientific evidence, not on just I've taken X, Y, and Z and my friend took the same thing and they feel fine. You know, we also need to combat misinformation. So we need it's very important. False information can outright, it will undermine all the trust that the public have in the healthcare system. It paints a picture where people will not rely on the professionals, people that have the knowledge to be able to assist with these outbreaks.
Mm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Brilliant. Thank you very much.
And we've learned that we need to promote and we need to make sure that the public trust our leaders,
yeah.
our community leaders,
yeah.
our
yeah.
and these are all, they need to understand that science-based evidence is you don't need to think about maybe this works or I heard about that. If it's science-based, you can speak from a point of strength.
Yeah, of authority.
And of course, we need to also remember what we've learned is we need to make sure that our healthcare systems are prepared
already
for things like that.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the Ebola outbreak that was in West Africa. And were they prepared for that outbreak worldwide? What if it got to the point of as severe as COVID?
Mm.
Were we prepared? Would we be prepared right now?
Mm.
So these are the things that we can always look at. And I think from a governmental perspective is something that the healthcare department needs to always make sure that should another pandemic arise, are we prepared?
Eesh. Yeah.
yeah. Are we able to, because we were overwhelmed
right.
when it was COVID-19. The hospitals were overwhelmed. The staff were overwhelmed.
Mm.
It was a horrible time for everybody.
It was a hot mess.
Especially the healthcare workers.
Yeah. 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 All right. Got it. Thank you very much, Doctor. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
<welcome. laughs>
Heavy stuff, welcome. But it's important for us to hear. It's good that we're having you here to talk us through these things. The authority that it comes with, it's important that we take it all in. Thank you very much. See you tomorrow. Same time, same place.
Yes.
Have a wonderful day, brother, Doctor. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.